Hello, my name is Jennifer Sunny, and you are listening to Empowering Stories with Jen, where we share information and stories that inspire and empower others. Welcome to Empowering Stories with Jen, where we share information and stories that inspire, add value, and empower others. September is Dystonia Awareness Month, and for many of you, you know that I live with the struggles of dystonia and its debilitating symptoms. Today, we have a very special episode joined by the author of the book Warriors of Dystonia, Carl Kitty. Carl, welcome to Empowering Stories.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. It's lovely to be with you today.
I'm glad you're here with us today, Carl. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about you, where you're from, and a little bit more about your background.
So a little bit about me. So I'm originally from South Wales, and I'm now living in Belfast, Northern Ireland. In my spare time, I've always loved to dabble with different types of art. Everything from creative writing, writing for children, writing fantasy, as well as writing comedic stories about my own life and my own experiences. I'm a massive comic book nerd. I've been collecting comics seriously for about 4 or 5 years, but for as long as I can remember, I've always collected random things to do with movies, particularly horror films, as well as just graphic novels, so large comic books. I'm also really into heavy metal and music in general, but heavy metal being my favorite genre of music that I would listen to. And I've traveled all around the country just to go and see bands. I've two amazing daughters. One of them is 13 years old, going on 14, and my other daughter was recently celebrating her 10th birthday. And I've got a pet black cat called Willow, who likes to follow me everywhere, and she also likes to just sort of hang out by our front gate, just greeting people as they walk past our house every single day. And I think that pretty much sums me up.
Well, that's great. Thanks for sharing that about you, Carl. Well, happy birthday to your daughter. And so you also have a black cat? Well, so do I. My cat is a rescue cat named Kula. I love those. I just love cats, and I never thought I would have cats, but found Kula and fell in love with him. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about your encounter or your experience with dystonia?
So my empowering stories and my dystonia experience. My dystonia was something that I had for a very long time before I had any sort of diagnosis and before I actually spent any time really looking into it. So jumping ahead of time, I found out that I have cervical dystonia, which was very much a self-diagnosis before I actually was told professionally by a neurologist that this is the condition that I have. My dystonia was something that I think I had for a long time, even before I actually noticed it. So looking at old photographs and even some old conversations that I had from maybe my teenage years and into my 20s, early 20s, there were times where I was often kind of, my head was kind of turned slightly to the left. Just after the birth of my first daughter, literally a couple of weeks after that, I was going out with my wife. We were celebrating, first of all, the birth of our daughter, but also just an opportunity to spend some time together, just as a kind of a date night. And what I found was that my wife was sitting across from me and I wasn't able to face her without my head sort of pulling to one side. And I put it down at the time to being tired, becoming a new dad and having our daughter in our lives. And it was, there was another situation not long after where I had to go to the opticians to have an eye test. And as anyone that's had an eye test will know, you need to look into the optician's eyes. They hold different implements up to your eyes and a number of different tests which require for your head to be facing straight forward and without moving. And I found this really, really difficult. And again, I put it down to being a tired new parent. I'm also, in my spare time, I'm very much into my games, gaming. And what I found was I was in work one day and we had a bit of an exhibition going on where we were all in a sort of playing this game and we had sort of heat set up. So if you won one round, you moved on to the next and etc. Moving your way up through the ranks, competing against other people. And what I found was that as I was getting more into the gaming and more excited and stressed, I supposed, I found that I wasn't able to face the television screen where we were playing the game on without, I had to kick my legs. It was really strange. I had to kick my legs under a table. So I was sitting on top of a table, kicking my legs. And for whatever reason, at that point, my head didn't seem to turn as much. So the next thing that happened then was that as part of my job, I needed to present to groups of people in a boardroom scenario. Now, any person that has to do public speaking or group speaking from time to time, and especially when you're reporting on data and numbers and figures and important pieces of information, anyone that has to do that would know that it's not the most relaxing situation. It's not something that you can say, I really enjoy doing that. It's very different to talking about something that you're interested in or excited in and you're passionate about. But when everyone is looking at you and the focus is on you sharing this important information, which isn't always going to be great as well, you could be reporting on negatives that have happened, it's very stressful. And I found that my neck and my head used to pull to the side something chronically. And in the end, I had to change jobs. I literally had to change jobs to try and find something that didn't require me to do any or not as much reporting in that fashion. I actually became a trainer. I was training people on how to use different systems and different things. And so I was still talking in public and talking in groups to people. However, I was a lot more empowered and I was passionate about what I was training people in. So I did then get to a point where I needed to go to serious meetings again. And I had to speak to my manager and say to her, look, I've got this turny neck thing. I said, I don't know what it is, but I find it very embarrassing. And the more I think about it and the more I'm embarrassed about it, the more I find this pulling sensation is going on. I spent a bit of time then trying to find things online. I just couldn't find anything. The term dystonia hadn't shown up. So therefore, not having a name for this condition meant that I just didn't know where to go. I spoke to my doctor twice on two very separate occasions and was told that it was depression. I was told that it was anxiety and that I was told that, yeah, it was because I was a new dad. However, at no point did I actually feel depressed. I was very happy about being a new father. You know, I love being a dad. I always wanted to be a dad. So certainly felt far away from depression. Now, anxiety, yes, I was anxious, but my anxiety was being exasperated by the fact that my neck was pulling and not having that control and not really knowing what on earth was going on with my neck. I went to see a physiotherapist and I was given a very poor printout of some neck exercises to do, which I tried, but even then I knew that it wasn't going to help me. I knew that there was more to this than just being some stretching and moving of the neck that I needed to do. I knew there was something much deeper. One day I typed in something like turny neck, pull into one side, uncontrollable, and the term cervical dystonia came up. And when I read about the symptoms of this and I started reading people's stories online in different forums and things, and I started talking to people, I felt this sort of sense of euphoria at finally having a title for what it was that I was going through. And I knew I wasn't alone. I had found out that it wasn't fatal. I had read that it was something that very rarely got any worse. But I had also read that it was something that I was going to have for the rest of my life. And that was a lot to deal with. Up until this point, I had been getting on with life. I think we were about 3 years into me having the condition at this point. And I had just been carrying on with life. Obviously, there was the change of job, but I hadn't sought out any sort of medication or anything like that, because I was very lucky, and I am still very lucky, that there's never been any large amounts of pain with my dystonia. So having this title for the condition really, really helped me. I was able to talk to people, and I went to the doctors and explained to them this is what I had found out and this is what I was pretty certain that I had. And my doctor looked at me and said, no, you haven't got dystonia. If you had dystonia, you wouldn't be able to walk. And so it was very clear that even my doctor had no awareness that dystonia came in many forms. So I actually asked my doctor at the time to turn around and to use their computer and to basically type in cervical dystonia and to look at all of my previous medical records from when I had visited before and look at everything that I had explained. And I said, you'll find that it matches. And sure enough, they agreed that it looked very likely I had cervical dystonia.
That's amazing.
And it took about another year, maybe 2 years, before I finally saw a neurologist and had that final confirmation that I did indeed have cervical dystonia.
Well, Carl, having dystonia, with your symptoms and the difficulties that you've been through, not just physically, but, mentally, I'm pretty sure emotionally, especially when you had to change job and the embarrassment that you experienced. Did you have a support system? Do you have a support system that kind of helped you get through everything that you've been through?
Okay, so when it comes to my support system, I would definitely say that it's my wife and it's my children. None of them support me directly in that they will come and put their arm around me and go, Carly, are you okay? Or anything like that. I personally, and I think it's just because of the way that I was brought up. I was kind of brought up old school in that I needed to get on and deal with my own problems. And it's not a great thing. It really isn't. And I'm really happy to see that there is more recognition around mental health and people are getting more support these days. However, I'm also very thankful for the fact that I have been able to cope with and deal with just about every challenge that has come my way without me having to rely on other people. I'm very much into taking the time to really get to know myself and understand why I feel like I do on a particular day, what has brought me there, and what I need to do to get myself into a better mindset. As I mentioned previously, when I found out that my dystonia was chronic and that I would have it for the rest of my life, I did feel very overwhelmed. I was like, oh no, wow, this is me for forever, for my whole life. This is it. But now I look at it and go, this is it. This is forever. And look at what I've accomplished and what I've been able to do and what I can still do. I have people that are there if I needed them. I know the times where if I turn around to my wife and I say, I'm having a bit of a bad day today, she'll tell me to take some time out just to relax. I'm such a workaholic in that I take a lot of joy from doing things for other people. So I'm very much a very hands-on dad and I'm a very hands-on husband. So I would do a lot of the cleaning in the house. I do all just about all of the cooking. I love cooking. I love doing things in the garden and I do all of these things. And my wife, from time to time, will have to tell me, stop, Carl. And so that's where this, I suppose that's where the support really does come from. That is my support system, is my wife telling me, Carl, it's okay to chill, it's okay to relax. And I guess that's also a remnant of coming from a time where we had to suck it up and just get on with things, no matter how you felt. When it comes to familiarity with dystonia, nobody in my family, nobody had ever heard of it before. I'm from what I'm going to talk a little bit about soon. Now, just about everyone in my family and many of my friends have a very clear idea of dystonia and the different ways it can affect you. But yeah, my wife now, she's very familiar with my type of dystonia, my personal brand, and how cervical dystonia affects me. But and so do my daughters. Never before, never before. And it's dystonia is a funny word. It's a strange word. It's not something that I've ever heard of previously before actually looking into my diagnosis back in the day years ago. Never heard of the word.
Yes, dystonia is a foreign word to many people. In fact, including me in the beginning, I had no idea what dystonia was or have known of anybody who has dystonia. But I am glad, Carl, that you brought up mental strength. It's definitely needed in people with chronic illness. We need to be tough, not just physically, but also mentally. And mental health is just as important as our physical health, I believe. And I'm glad that you were able to, turn it around and sounds like you've actually, tried to find positive things around your condition. And not too many people are able to do that. And support system, absolutely. Family is a great support system. Like you said, you're one of those people who don't necessarily need the physical support, but just for someone to be there to understand and listen. And sounds like you have a great wife there, one that would remind you that it's okay to rest and relax once in a while, because we all need that. And sometimes I think that we try to push through with our condition, and sometimes we forget. And it's great that there's family there that would remind us that, hey, you got to be careful. You need to rest and relax before, your symptoms comes on again. And I'm glad that you have that support system there with you. So tell me about your book, Warriors of Dystonia. That's kind of what led me to you. I've seen your book, and I believe we're actually in the same support group online, and I've encountered your book here and there, and I wanted to, know more about it. Why don't you tell us more?
Yes, so The Warriors of Dystonia is a book containing short stories and experiences from people all over the world whose lives are affected in some way by dystonia. So this is people who have dystonia directly, and also people who are perhaps looking after somebody that has dystonia, whether it be a partner or a child. The book covers so many different types of dystonia, many, many types of dystonia that I had never heard of in all the years that I've had it myself, and in all the years that I've communicated with people in different forums and groups. And so that's what the Warriors of Dystonia is. It's celebrating and sharing the stories of these mighty warriors, these people from all over the world who are fighting this battle and cracking on with their lives with dystonia.
I love it. I mean, who would have thought that, we could celebrate despite of our condition? And I love that you have put together a book celebrating each person and their experience and not necessarily their struggle, but just sharing their stories, their experiences and for people to read them and hopefully understand what dystonia is and how strong and how tenacious people with dystonia are. It's not an easy thing to have. I mean, it affects us physically, it affects us mentally, emotionally. I mean, I don't know about you, but it does affect me emotionally at times, especially, when my symptoms are severe. But I love it. I love that, you put this together and, just to get us to share our stories and hopefully learn from each other and encourage each other. Wonderful. Great book.
Thank you so much.
So, aside from your experience and, hearing other people's experience, was there something that inspired you, or did you just wake up one day and just realize, like, you know what? I'm gonna go write me a book about dystonia. I mean, what was your inspiration?
So there's a few different things that inspired me to work on this book. So if we go back to some of the things that I've done in the past, I love writing, and I love different forms of art. I just love being creative. And so many years ago, I wrote a book which was kind of a very dark comedy book, fictional kind of problems that people had with solutions. So basically, it was somebody wrote a story in saying, "Please help me, I have dinosaurs in my garden." And so that would be a problem that I had made up, and then I would make up a solution. So it was very surreal comedy, but I really enjoyed writing that book, and that was more than enough payment for me. I loved writing, and it was so cool to see it in a book form. So what I actually did was all of the profit from that book went on to carbon monoxide awareness. And the reason for that was because at the time I was working with this lady whose son unfortunately passed away from carbon monoxide poisoning while celebrating the end of their GCSE exams. So they had finished their exams in school. They had gone to a place to stay. Him and his friends to celebrate, and for there was something wrong in the cabin or in the place that they were staying, and yes, carbon monoxide had leaked in, and unfortunately, this young man had passed away. So the money from that book went to that charity. Few years later, my daughter, who's an amazing little artist, she was about 5 years old at the time. She did some drawings and dictated a story to me, and I put this together into a picture book. And again, what we did was, once the book was self-published, the money from that all went to the Cancer Fund for Children, which is a local charity to support and help families of children who have been diagnosed with cancer. A few years after that, then I really got into wood burning, so hand burning pictures into pieces of wood. And for that chat, for that project, what I was doing was I was given part of the money from the sales of the pieces of art to a local homeless charity. So when we came up to 2020, I really wanted to do something again, creative. So when we came up to 2020, I wanted to do something again, which was creative, but would also allow me to give money to charity. And around that time, I was flying to Wales to visit my family. And on the way back, I had to go through one of those sort of body scanners at the airport. And the person told me to stand still. And I said, well, I can't. I said, my head pulls to one side. And they kind of looked at me a bit strange. So I said, I've got Parkinson's. And they, to be honest with you, they were still pretty nasty, the security people at the airport, and really made me cross. But also, what bothered me was I had to say I had Parkinson's because there's a lot more awareness around Parkinson's than dystonia. Nobody's heard of dystonia. If I turned around and said I can't move because I've got dystonia, even the nicest security person at the airport would just kind of frown, I'm sure. So that kind of planted a seed in my head. And I thought, Carl, throughout all the times that you've done these other projects and you've given money to charity, and the charities that I'm so honored to have been able to give money to, I've never looked closer to home and looked at the fact that I live in a world with dystonia and a whole ensemble of people around the world who also have dystonia and this condition that nobody has heard of. Nobody has heard of it. So I was sort of laying in bed, and I believe it was around Christmas or New Year's Eve or something like that. It was around the festive holidays. I woke up in the middle of the night, and I was like, Warriors of Dystonia. Just came to me, just popped in my head. I started to think about different ways that I could sort of gather awareness, but I wanted to have other people's story. I wanted other people's examples. I couldn't just write a book about my own dystonia when I knew that my dystonia is very moderate compared to many hundreds of people out there. So there was another thing that I've really been into, and it's a thing on social media, and also there's a couple of books as well called Humans of New York. The appeal of Humans of New York is that people really like to read people's life stories, just little snippets of lives, of the way that life affects other people out there and their journey and where they are. And so I thought, well, how about I start reaching out to people and asking them to share their story with me. Initially, I can remember really, really clearly that first day when I joined some Facebook forums and I introduced myself, and I got in touch with the moderators of many of these Facebook groups. And for the most part, I had really, really nice responses. I told them, look, my plan is I want to gather the stories from people. I want to give people an opportunity to send me their stories. 100% of the profit is going to charity. I want no payment from this. All I want to be able to do is to do what I can to get awareness out there. And I said, and I understand that, I'm not trying to sell anything on these pages, and I understand the sensitive nature of dystonia because most Facebook groups for dystonia are private groups. They're closed down and people talk on there in a in an environment that they're comfortable with because their situation, their story, or what they're talking about isn't being made public. So I wanted to make it very clear that I was aware of this and that I just wanted to give people an opportunity. If they didn't want to share their stories, they didn't have to do it. It was completely up to the people in these groups. And I still remember when I made my first invite on a Facebook group, and I was so nervous, so nervous. I turned off notifications on my phone and I came away from my laptop. I just didn't want to look. I wanted to just give it a bit of time to sort of bake, just sort of sit there on social media and let's just see what happens. I got to the end of the day and a few people had been in touch and there was already a couple of stories as well. And I was like, okay. And at this point, I'd only really been in touch with one group. So, I continued to do that. And then I started to use Instagram a lot more. I'm still not great on Instagram. But I made more of a connection to many, many people on Instagram than I did on some of the Facebook groups. Don't get me wrong, I did connect with a few people and there's a few now that have become friends. But Instagram, I seem to be able to get more of a connection with people very quickly there. And I don't know whether it was because on Instagram, I had to join sort of or start following dystonia groups. And then I started directly messaging people. And I didn't want to come across as intrusive. And I needed to make it very, very clear that there was nothing dodgy, there was nothing untoward going on, that it was, my heart was in the right place with this. I just wanted to get people's stories out there, and all of the money was going to go to charity and research. As we came to the end of 2020, well, actually, it wasn't even the end. I had a plan in mind that October the 31st was going to be the closing date and that I wouldn't accept any more stories. However, by the time we hit July, I already knew that we were looking at about 400 pages of content. And I thought, I can't have the book be any bigger. So I actually closed off submissions then on August the 16th, 2020, which is my birthday. And then I took some time off because I wanted to have a break, because I was working on this at the same time as being full-time in work and also homeschooling my daughters at the time due to the COVID situation. So at that point then, I just spent some time editing the book and putting it all together. I didn't change anyone's stories. I left everyone's stories as they were. I maybe just did a bit of reformatting or a bit of punctuation, but everything else I left as close as I could to what was originally shared with me. There were a few people who, due to mobility issues, I actually transcribed their stories from either an audio recording or from a video chat as well. So there were a few of stories I had to write in there. Yeah, so that's kind of the creation of the Warriors of Dystonia book. And I've already talked about inspiration, but I can't also forget about the fact that one of the other biggest inspirations around putting this book together is the fact that nobody out there has heard of the term dystonia. And for me, if we're to get any sort of progress made with care and support and cures and making life better for people with dystonia, more people out there need to be aware of the condition. So when I think about myself and the fact that nobody in my family knew anything about dystonia, even from me just saying, oh, I've got dystonia and these are some of the things that I've got going on, because my family don't understand it and have not heard of the term before, it's very difficult to put yourself into a particular mindset to even begin. So if somebody came to you and said, I've got this, and you've never heard of it before, it limits what you can actually do in response. the condition that a person has told you about, the term dystonia does not tell you it's a chronic illness. It has nothing in it, in its title, which suggests that there's any mobility issues. There's nothing in there that tells you about the mental health side of things, the exhaustion and all of those things as well. So by putting real stories of people from all over the world together in one place, it's a tool that people that have dystonia can hand over to friends and family and say, look, this is an insight into my condition. This is the way that it can affect people. This is a glimpse into my world. At the same time, Warriors of Dystonia is there as a tool and a crutch to lean on for people who feel very much alone. There were so many people that I spoke to and interacted with when putting the book together where I was like, wow, not only am I not alone with my dystonia, but there's people that understand it, that get it, that I'm going through the same thing. They're going through the same thing. I'm not alone. And so it's not just about awareness to the world of people out there that don't have dystonia, but it's also awareness for people who live in the dystonia community as well to know they're not alone, and to even show as well the different types of dystonia that I never knew about. I never knew that dystonia could affect your eyes, that could leave you in a condition where you couldn't move your eyes. I didn't know that dystonia could put you in a state where you weren't able to walk, or you couldn't move your hands, or you had things like dystonic storms and seizures. That was the inspiration then, and it just snowballed from that, just trying to learn more myself and to create something that we could hand over to other people.
Carl, it's wonderful that you've actually thought about this because many people are in fact unaware of what dystonia is, and for them and for us to have something that we can relate on or relate to and get knowledge from is very helpful, in fact, for spreading awareness and understanding.
I think there's something about having a tangible book like that. We can like and we can share on social media. I personally do. I don't really like social media. It's a fantastic place if used in a nice positive way, but unfortunately, not many people do. And I think some of the most amazing and lovely people I've ever met have been within the dystonia community. I can count in the past year, I've only met two people that were a little bit toxic, and they were actually putting themselves in the dystonia community for self gain. They didn't have dystonia themselves. They were coming up with different ways of curing the illness and charging and putting it behind a huge paywall, and that disgusted me. I'm of the mind that if I had a cure for dystonia, I would give it out there. I'd put it out there tomorrow, and I would take so much pleasure from being able to do so. But yeah, there's something about having a tangible book that you can just hand over to somebody, and it trims the fat. You haven't got to go through the bump. We can like and we can share posts with people outside of the dystonia community, to friends and family, but we know ourselves what it's like when we see something that's shared that we don't understand, or perhaps we're not completely interested in, we don't give it that much attention. So you handing over a book and saying, here you go. Welcome to my world. Have a look. And that's what I wanted to create. That's what I feel I've created. And so far, the feedback from everyone who's read it has said they just wish that neurologists, movement specialists would look at it. They wish that they'd got the book sooner. They wish that it was something that had been there at the very beginning for them. And it's so great that to get that sort of feedback, and I feel so special to have been able to have done that, and honored to be able to have done that. And as an added bonus, then for me to be able to give the money to charity, to research, has been amazing. It's been so nice.
Well, Carl, that is one amazing story. Empowering indeed. I mean, the fact that you have always been, I guess, just, been active in spreading awareness and raising money for charity using your writing, your creativity. I mean, I love it. And for you to just to lay there and suddenly just popped in your head, Warriors of Dystonia, and started, reaching out to these people. And I am so glad that you've received positive support from different warriors. I definitely need to get this book. I mean, like I said, I suffer from general dystonia, and for a long time, I thought, and not necessarily felt embarrassed, but the fact that, I didn't know that there were so many warriors out there. And now it's in a book. I definitely want to be inspired and be empowered by their stories. So thank you for writing this book, and I will definitely get me a copy. So where can we avail a copy of Warriors of Dystonia?
So the Warriors of Dystonia book is available all over the internet right now. If you type in Warriors of Dystonia book into Google, it will appear there. However, the cheapest place that you can get it is from a website called lulu.com. Okay, so that's lulu.com. And if you search for Warriors of Dystonia there, you'll see two options. There's two books. One of them is more expensive than the other. They are both the same book, so you can get the cheapest one. That'll work absolutely fine. But the reason for there being two is because the book is self-published, I wanted to make sure that I could make the book available in as many different places as possible. And to do that, I had to make one of the books more expensive. Because it's self-published, what they're doing is they are taking additional money for it to be available in multiple locations. But my way around that was going, okay, I'll have one which is available in multiple locations, but this version is only available on lulu.com. And for that, because I'm only using their website, it's kept at a much cheaper price. So Warriors of Dystonia is available at lulu.com. There is an ebook, so a digital version of the book, and for that, it's available at my website, so warriorsofdystonia.wordpress.com. What you'll find is when you go to buy the Warriors of Dystonia book in its digital format, you'll be taken to a PayPal site where you can make a minimum donation of £2, all of which is going to Dystonia Research. And what happens is, once you've completed the form on the website, it will take you to PayPal. You'll make your donation. And once you've done that, it will immediately take you to an area where you can download a copy of the book yourself. Now, I've had to build all of the website and build all of these things myself. So, if there are any sorts of issues or anything like that, I'm really sorry. It has worked for most people. I think there's only been two people that have perhaps had some sort of an issue. And that's been because when they've gone to the next page where you can download the book, they've accidentally closed it down. But any issues at all, I can see whenever a person has made a donation. So whenever a donation has been made, I get an email. If there are any issues, you can send me an email at warriorsofdystonia@gmail.com. I'll be able to confirm that you've bought a copy and I can send you the link directly, but it should all work good.
Okay, so lulu.com, that's where we can get the copy of Warriors of Dystonia. And as Carl said, you can go ahead and make a donation of £2, and to us in US dollars, that would be approximately $3, if I'm not mistaken. So, and it's great that, if something is to happen while you guys are downloading the ebook and it doesn't go through, And, you know, Carl can go ahead and receive that email because, you know, he sees that you've downloaded a copy. So, Carl, that's amazing what you're doing, you know, raising funds, raising awareness, and donating to charity because we all need more research about dystonia, definitely, because nobody knows. I mean, there's not too many people know what dystonia is. And books, spreading awareness, social media, anything that we can do to just give more knowledge, give more awareness of what dystonia is definitely needed. So I'm glad that you're doing this. And like I said, I will definitely download your book and looking forward to reading it. So now that you've released your book, Carl, what's next? What's your next project? Is there something brewing in the horizon?
Okay, so the Warriors of Dystonia project is something that is still going. If people wish to share their story or their experience with me, they can do so. There are links at my website, which is warriorsofdystonia.wordpress.com. I can be found on both Instagram and Facebook under Warriors of Dystonia. And I can also be emailed at warriorsofdystonia@gmail.com. And I'm still collecting stories, and what I'm doing is putting them onto the website for now. But I do think that in a couple of years' time, I will do a follow-up book. It won't so much be a I don't really want to go down a path of adding to the book that's already been released. I hate it when authors do that, where they relaunch their same book with maybe two additional new stories or new segments. So I will do a complete follow-up with brand new stories in a few years' time. And I will probably do something very similar to what I've done now, where I will then give the money to charity. The other thing that I am working on, and it's very tricky for me to find the full time to do it, is the Warriors of Dystonia podcast. I will come back to that, but if people are interested in being on the podcast or sharing their dystonia experience with me, they can send me an email or get in touch with me at the locations that I mentioned just now.
Podcast. Hey, why not? This is why I'm doing what I'm doing now. I mean, I'm not trying to get popular or famous or whatnot. I just want to share empowering stories. And part of those stories is about dystonia and my, I guess, experience with hemiplegic migraine and everything that goes on in my life with it. And then, and some, and trying to share other people's empowering stories as well, and hoping that it would inspire others, and just to keep pushing and be tenacious and just be strong and be warriors. And so I am rooting for you, Carl. Go ahead and do that podcast and keep spreading awareness out there. So how can we connect with you? I mean, if there are people out there who wants to reach out to you and maybe ask questions or just want to know more about your book. How can we connect?
So I try to keep everyone updated with progress of what I'm doing, and I have a YouTube blog, which is, I mean, can you guess? So it's Warriors of Dystonia, and that's on YouTube. And I give a little bit more of a candid insight into what's going on in my head, what I'm up to, and any ideas that I've got, or what I've been doing with my family, things like that. Other than that, I try to keep things like Facebook and Instagram updated with any time that I'm able to make donations to either the Dystonia Medical Research Foundation or Dystonia UK, Dystonia Organization. I welcome people to get in touch with me. So you can find me on the social media platforms, or feel free to contact me via email. So you can send me an email to warriorsofdystonia@gmail.com, and more than happy to chat. I do need to stress, though, that I'm no means any sort of an expert when it comes to dystonia. I've had a couple of people that have asked my sort of professional opinion on a few things, and unfortunately I've had to sort of make it clear I compiled these stories, and I'm going through the same sort of journey as many of the people that are getting in touch with me as well. But I'm more than happy to have a chat, and you know, if people have any questions or anything like that, to please get in touch with me. Something else that's really, really, really important is that when it comes to the sales of the Warriors of Dystonia book, it's self-published, okay? But my only input in all of this is the website that prints my book. I give them the file and they print the book for me. If there's any issues with your delivery of the book, or if the book is damaged or anything like that, it is 100% out of my hands. It's nothing to do with me. It all comes down to wherever you've ordered the book from. The way I like to think of it is that if J.K. Rowling, you know, with her Harry Potter books, if you were to order a book from Amazon one day and it was Harry Potter and the cover was torn off, you wouldn't email J.K. Rowling and ask her for a replacement book. Not saying I'm as good as J.K. Rowling. You know, that's for you guys to decide. But yeah, it's really important. It just saves a bit of embarrassment, because I feel really awful. I've had a few people that have had one or two issues which have been resolved very quickly by either Lulu or Amazon. But yeah, it's a bit awkward, because I feel I really want to be able to help people. I'm the same as you. If I actually want a copy of the book, I have to buy it the same as anyone else. So I don't get any sort of discount or anything like that. I still have to pay for copies of my own book.
The struggles of indie authors, and I'm very familiar with it, so I can relate, and I'm glad that you've mentioned the things you've mentioned. And, you know, we could always just do our best to please people, but we really can't please everybody. Connect with Carl and ask him questions about dystonia. And like he said, he's not a doctor. I've always encouraged people who may have some, you know, questions about their own health, that if they're suspecting that they have dystonia, or a family member who has dystonia, to reach out to a doctor and you know, to a professional. It's better to actually get the answers from them. But as far as experiences is concerned, you know, questions here and there, we're all here to listen, to offer our stories, our, you know, our experiences, but we are not experts in this field, and there are neurologists out there who are, you know, just waiting for you guys to reach out to them. So like I said, connect with Carl and buy his book and read about dystonia, read about what we warriors of dystonia go through, and get a little bit of a knowledge of what it is, and, you know, spread awareness and understanding and compassion, very much needed with people with chronic illness, compassion and understanding. Carl, thank you so much for spending time with me and sharing your empowering stories. I wish you luck. I wish you the best, and more power to everything that you are planning to do in the future. And I'm looking forward to it. Best of luck again. And thank you so much.
Thank you so much for this opportunity, Jennifer. It's been lovely talking to you. And as I've mentioned before, I am more than happy if anyone wants to get in touch with me, if anyone has any questions about the Warriors of Dystonia book, if anyone wants to share their experience with me, or if anyone would like to ask about being part of the podcast. I'm an open book, and I love meeting people from all over the world. So thank you so much, and take care.
And that was Carl, the author of Warriors of Dystonia. And to get a copy, go to lulu.com. And to connect with Carl, search him up on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and any social media. Look for Warriors of Dystonia and don't forget to get a copy. I hope you've enjoyed our episode today, and till next time, bye for now. Have a blessed day. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Empowering Stories with Jen. I hope it has added value to you today. Please don't forget to subscribe, spread the love, and share this podcast. Till next time, connect with someone, share your stories, and empower others. Have a blessed day. For more empowering stories, visit my website at jenniferseni.com or connect with me on my Instagram at author_JenniferSeni.